This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
An anchor for the soul. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Sometimes you just hold on. It's not always pretty. I don't know if I've ever seen a beautiful, what I would call a beautiful anchor. But I'm more interested in it being strong than I am it being pretty. Amen. Amen. We are beginning a new month today. It's hard to believe this year has progressed so rapidly that 5 of the 12 months are gone. And time and chance happeneth to them all, the Bible said. I'm just thankful that I'm here. I'm thankful that you're here. That's right. I'm thankful I don't have any funerals scheduled to preach, Brother Prince. It's good to see you and Sister Prince. They're folks here today. A special day for the Prince and Willis families. You don't have to be doing anything to feel him. You know that? You really don't. I'm turning your attention to 2 Kings chapter 6. And I will read verses 15 and 16. 2 Kings chapter 6. I feel like we need to do something right now. Do you mind standing with me again? I would like to bring a good friend of mine to us in prayer, Pastor Rod Bankins. Pastor's in Collins, Mississippi. They had to take Brother Bankins back to the hospital last night. He's had some complications, heart situations, and he just had a knee replacement surgery, I think, that turned into somewhat of a nightmare. Many of you know Brother Rod Bankins. He's from right here in our area. Let's pray for him right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bring Brother Rod Bankins and his good wife, Sister Sandy, before you this morning. You know exactly what is going on in his body, and you are the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we project the prayer of faith in his direction now. And trust that you will be closely involved with every portion of his life right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. You may be seated again. 2 Kings 6, 15. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto the man of God, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. My subject this morning is count the votes. Count the votes. Several years ago, I preached the funeral of a very precious saint of God and member of this church, Sheila Richard. I remember in my funeral message, I mentioned that, of course, she had a husband, Don Allen, and three grown, strong sons. So she spent most of her life 4-1. But I made this statement, I never felt like that Sheila was outvoted. And if you knew Sheila Richard, you had the feeling that she was never outvoted. In Jeremiah chapter 1, the first half of the first chapter reveals so many important things that need to be absorbed before you continue through Jeremiah's book. Beginning in verse 4, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he said, verse 5, "Behold, I formed thee, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Then, verse 6, Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." And God said to him, "Don't say, I am a child." And he went on to explain to him, remember, I've already told you that I knew you before your mother knew you. I knew that you were set apart. I had established some lofty expectations for your life. I had my eye upon you. And if you follow those next few words, you read several things that God spoke to Jeremiah. He said, "I formed thee, I knew thee, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee, I shall send thee, I command thee, I am with thee to deliver thee. I have put my words in thy mouth, I have set thee over nations." And then in verse 10, he said, "I have set thee over nations to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build, and plant." He said, when you add all of that up, that more than qualifies you for the task for which I have called you. You count the votes, Jeremiah. You say, "I am just a child. I am laden down with inconsistencies. I'm laden down with incapabilities." But he said, let me tell you, I'm calling for a recount. So if you go back to our text, there is a lot of important things dealt with in this passage of Scripture, but what I read to you is mostly what is referred to in 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha said to his servant, who had just come in and reported, "We're surrounded. I look around and the host of our enemy has completely surrounded us." And then the Lord, through Elisha, said, "Don't be afraid, because I did a recount. And they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Everybody say more. He said, "I've added it all up. And to you, it looks like we are surrounded. And I think about the young sergeant in the army, in the Civil War, who heard the report of some of his comrades that the enemy had surrounded them. And he rushed up to his captain and said, "Oh, sir, this is wonderful. We can attack in any direction." Sometimes we just need to recount the votes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, something very similar is said. Hezekiah speaks to the nation of Israel when the king of Assyria had come against them. In verse 7, "Be strong." This is Hezekiah speaking to his people. "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more," everybody say more, "there be more with us than with him." With him, now this is what he's got. Your enemy with him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. So he said, if you add it all up, you realize that there are more working in your behalf than are working against you. There are more things working in your favor at this moment in your life than the conglomeration of the things that are working against you. The word "more" is found 847 times in the Bible. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." James 4 and 6 says, "He giveth more grace." More. Everybody say more. That means the majority. That means there is a greater number in my favor than there are against my favor. I don't care how evenly matched two football teams are. If one of those teams, you subtract two or three players, and on the other side of the ball, you add two or three players, it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a big difference. Luke chapter 18 and verse 29, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." More. Everybody say more. I think we've established is the one with the most votes wins. So let's just read through some verses of Scripture here. And when I'm going to read four passages of Scripture, then we'll try to decide what they are saying. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. "And he said unto me," God spoke to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Ephesians 3, 14 through 16. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. These are what you call arsenal scriptures. You keep them so that at a moment's notice, you can pull them out and use them against the devil. 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is a wonderful arsenal, a passage of Scripture. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, in these four passages of Scripture that I have referred to, what seems to stand out to you? I'll tell you what stands out to me. That there is a special strength, an unusual ability that comes from God to his children. And you can call it several things: strength, might, nature, power. There is a special something placed within a Christian, an extra reservoir of power that is more than a match for the stuff life throws at you. Only 3% of the water that is in on our planet is seen. 97% of the water in this planet lies in huge subterranean pools. It's not seen. Not seen at all. Human beings are like that. There is in every one of us a huge pool of potential that we have not tapped into. How strong are you? Well, you do not know. You really do not know. How rich are you? Well, you really do not know. If you're standing next to Bill Gates, you feel one thing. Or if you are sitting in a refugee camp in Sudan, you feel something else. You and I threw enough food into our waste baskets yesterday that would be a delectable delight to a huge amount of our world. So that put in perspective. So I want to tell you, I don't think any of us know how far we can go in the Holy Ghost. I don't think any of us know how strong we can be in the Spirit. There may be people that you're well acquainted with that you look up to and honor and revere because of their relationship to God. They were not born with angels' wings or with a halo over their head. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible said that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He dealt to every man. Would everybody say that includes me? That includes me. He dealt to every man the measure of faith. When Jesus filled you with his spirit, he lined up every sickness, every temptation, every pain, every disappointment, every troubling phone call, every dire doctor's report that you would ever face, and he imparted to you the measure of faith that you would need to overcome that. He has equipped you. Now, it may lay dormant at times, but when circumstances press it into action, phenomenal results can take place. I am persuaded this church does not know what it can accomplish through the power of the Holy Ghost and the unity of its people. This church does not know. That's something we reach for and strive for. We do not fully understand. I just say count the votes again. And let's tally it up and see where we stand. As you're aware, we have, Sister Mahoney and I have been in a little preparation to sell our house, relocate. When you've been married 40 years, if you think you really don't have anything, just get ready to move. That's all you got to do. Get ready to move. Call Allied Moving Lines and ask them to bring 7 18-wheelers to your house. Sister Mahoney unwrapped stuff that was wrapped in newspapers from years and years and years ago. I've seen stuff in the last couple of weeks that I have not seen in 30 years. It was precious stuff that I held on to, you see. So I have quite a collection of Louis L'Amour books that most of them are first editions when the book first came out. They're that old. And like me or don't like me, Sister Molly Thompson, who was longtime missionary to Colombia, told me one time, she is English, Sister Thompson was. Her husband, Brother Thompson, was Irish. And she told me that when she first came to this country, she thought that this country was filled with the most rude and lewd and crude people. She said, it was ugly. I didn't like it compared to my homeland. But she said, one of your men taught me to love this nation. So I'm spiritually minded. So I'm thinking one of our forefathers, you know, Brother A.D. Urshan, or, you know, taught her. And she said, you know who taught me to love this nation? I said, no. She said, Louis L'Amour. She said, I read his books, and through him I fell in love with this wonderful, wonderful nation. So it's hard for me to go through old stuff because I have to read it all. And I picked up a little book that was a collection of some of L'Amour's short stories. One of my favorite short stories of his is entitled Duffy's Man. And in that classic Western story, Louis L'Amour quoted Patrick Henry from a speech that he made during the Revolutionary War, and I quote, "They tell us, sir, that we are weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be next week? Will it be next year? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and a guard stationed in every house? Shall we gather strength by irresolution and inaction? Sir, we are not weak if we make proper use of those means which the God of nature has placed in our hearts." End quote. We're not weak if we utilize what God has given us. You should find Romans 12 in verse 3 and underline that part. He hath given to every man the measure of faith. T.W. Barnes never did have more faith than I had. Never did. He utilized his better than I utilized. The tools are there. The votes are there in your favor. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. True. But so is electricity. Electricity is the same today as it was in 1865. When Lee surrendered to Grant. But we are doing more things with electricity now than we did when Benjamin Franklin flew his kite with the key on the string. We made adaptations. And what needs to happen is we need to make adaptations to utilize what God has granted unto us. We need to take a head count as to who is for us versus who is against us. Patrick Henry said, we're not weak. We are not weak if we utilize the means that the God of nature has placed into our hands. What we need to do is use what we've got. What does the song say? You don't need a whole lot, just use what you've got. Well, you think maybe you're one of them persons who needs a whole lot. Well, what you need. That's what manna was. The word manna is kind of difficult to define as it is mentioned in the Old Testament as far as God's way of feeding his people. The best definition you can get of the word manna is what is. What is. And so I think manna was what is needed. What nutrients are needed, what strength is needed, what vitamins are needed. I believe that manna was full of vitamin A and B and C and D flat and B plus and all that. I think all of that was in there, everything they needed. If now they wanted meat and he sent them quails and they got water from a rock, but they could have fared well for 40 years just eating manna. What is? What is required? What is needed to get through this day? Amen. We ought to be glad that God does not reveal to us what we will be facing next week. I don't never visited a fortune teller. I've been to New Orleans many times. I love to walk around Jackson Square. It used to be more fun than it is now. Now it's mostly folks sitting at tables with these tarot cards, turning them over, you know, telling you what brand of bread to buy or whatever they do. Never consulted that. I've never wanted to know. Be honest with you, I don't want to know. But I know, like I said Wednesday night, that even a day like today is a day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Even 4 weeks ago, today at 5 o'clock, when I was sitting on the couch in my office, and I feel like that's probably when I had this myocardial infarction. Boy, now that sounds worse than a heart attack. Now, you can have a heart attack. I had a myocardial infarction. Ain't that scary? But even on that day, even on that day, it was a day that the Lord hath made. He deviseth means, he said in the book of 2 Samuel, whereby his banished be not expelled. He arranges things so that the lines are fallen unto you in pleasant places. God's involvement in your life is not, as the deists say, that he set it all in order and then backed off and said, y'all be careful here. Don't run into each other. Just, you know, keep your eyes open. Stop at all the stop signs. Observe the laws. He's intricately involved. He's as involved in my life as I allow him to be. He's not going to take a sledgehammer and burst down a door to get in to where I am. He's not going to do that. But if I allow him to be, you know why? Because it doesn't matter what life throws at you. He is more. How much more? Well, more. Just more. Would God ever expect something of you that he had not equipped you for? Would he ever pick you up and toss you into the deep end of the pool without preparation? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You, always having all sufficiency in all things. That's God's relationship with us. Add it up. See what happens. Romans chapter 8 lists some rather formidable things that we must deal with. Things that are not to be swept under the rug and forgotten. Things that are not to be filed in file 13. And it lists them. Tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature. Count them. 17. 17. Add them all up, and the answer is nothing. Zero. Because the sum total of those things equals what is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, and that is nothing. Everybody say nothing. Years ago, I did an intense word research in both the Greek and the English, in the Hebrew, on the biblical word nothing, and determined that it actually means nothing. Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. You add up all 17 of these very powerful things, and the Bible said, none of those things can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. So, when I count the votes, there's always more that is with me than those that are with my enemy. I read somewhere I don't remember exactly where, but I read somewhere where it said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How much? It doesn't matter. It's just greater. Bigger, wider, longer, stronger, more. More. And in the middle of all of the listing of things that I mentioned to you, these 17 life-changing situations out of Romans 8. In the middle of all of that, Paul said, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Shall we stand together? More. That means we will not be conquered because his presence in our life makes us more. Nobody can determine how big God is, how long eternity is. No need in tantalizing your human mind about that. Except that he can hold the wind in his fist. Is that amazing? And even more amazing, a God that can hold the wind in his fist became one cell, and he became flesh and dwelt among us, the only begotten, full of grace and truth. So, maybe what you need to do with your life, you need to do a recount and look at what's for you and what's against you. Lord Jesus, help us to ever and always keep before us your power and investment in our life and what is available to us, and to understand that every moment of every day you make yourself fully available for whatever we will believe you for. Let us walk in the strength of that meat. In Jesus' name, everyone say amen. May God bless you richly. We will take a short break.